Hi, and welcome to Journeyers Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Clark, and I'll bring you guests who have stories and tools to share with you discussing resilience, authenticity, and the freedom that those things brought them. Let's get started. Hi, guys. I am on today. I have the honor of speaking with Josh Sanders. This guy is just absolutely killing it in the world of running. But I love where his mind is at and digging into that. I can't wait for you guys to get to know him a little bit here. He's just destroying records and totally redefining what you can achieve in various timeframes and in different ways. This is just going to be a really fun thing to chat about. Those of you who have been following me know that I love to run and also know that that journey has been a little tricky for me and for various reasons. So there's a lot here to dig in with Josh. So I'm going to get out of the way and let that real conversation flow. So, hey, Josh, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. So I would love to hear your version of how you got started doing what it is that you do now, and maybe explain to those who might not know you, because you're on Insta, and and that's at run.josh or runjosh?
Yes, run.josh.
Okay. Yep. I'm like, I follow you, but I don't know your handle. That's weird. so at run.josh on Insta, and you can follow him and find all the cool things that he's doing. But I'd love to hear from your end, like, what that is and what these awesome, how you find these really cool things to do, and what where your head was at when you got into all this.
Sure. So I was a runner in high school and college, mid distance, you know, half mile, mile distances. You know, I wasn't actually good in college. I went to a small little program that was just starting out. So they actually let me be on the team, and I don't think I ever even scored a point outside of like a relay where I was the slowest person on it. So it's fun, and I get to say, hey, I played sports in college, and then I just, you know, bunny trail off and hope they think football or baseball or something. but then I took 10, 12 years and really just got away from physical activity, which is weird, but just got into music, got into business, doing those sorts of things. And so it got to a point where, you know, I was building a business and just incredibly burned out by it, and just sold out of it and wanted to just get back to baseline after putting so much for so many years into that. And it was living in North Carolina at the time, and I was like, you know what, I want to climb a mountain. Like, that sounds fun. Like, hiking up a mountain would be great. And I found the highest mountain in North Carolina. I'm like, if you're going to climb a mountain, you may as well just climb the highest one out here. That seemed like the logical place to start.
Cool. Obviously.
right. So I climbed up it, and I was out of shape and probably like 40 pounds, you know, heavier than my college playing weight, you know, at least 30, you know, just kind of letting myself, you know, not eat right, not take care of myself, not exercise. And it was a blast doing that. Like, I got into it, and I accidentally discovered the sport of high pointing, which is climbing the highest point, usually referred to as the highest point in all of the states. But it could also be in most counties in a state or, you know, continents, whatever. But for me, it was, you know, let's do the highest point of all the states. So I look around online and realize, you know, most people who climb the highest mountain in every state take, you know, 10 years to do it. You know, they'll take day trips to the ones close by them, and then they'll fly out on vacations to the long ones. And I just lack that type of patience. I'm like, if I want to do this, let's just do it now. Like, that's, you know, I just sold out of the business. I've got a little bit of money, you know, not a lot, but enough to, like, you know, I decided to go back and finish my degree, get my MBA, you know, kind of take a year to develop that. So I'm like, I've got this training time. Let's do something crazy with these mountains. And I saw there was a speed record for climbing all of the contiguous 48. You know, and that was 23 days. So I went into spreadsheets, figured out the most optimum route, figured out what I thought they would take me to climb, and then figured, okay, you can do this in under 21 days. So that's what I'll do. I'll just knock them all out in 3 weeks. And that was a little ambitious because the first five are, you know, glaciated peaks, Rainier, Hood, the deadliest mountain in America. I'd never used an ice axe or crampons. So I just kind of YouTubed, you know, how to do that, and then went out there and did it, which is not what you should do. Like, that's how people die.
Right. I do not recommend Josh's way of doing things. However, I'm going to say a couple of things. I'm going to interrupt you for a second because you said a couple of things that I just am so excited about. And one is that you have leveraged your impatience, which some people would say is a bad thing. but you've leveraged that, right? And turned that into this really great way of doing things. And the other thing is we have tools available to us to learn these things that we don't know how to do. And instead of going, oh, I don't know how to do that, so I guess I'm not doing it, you jumped in full force and you're like, this, I'm just going to figure this out now and learn it and go with it. And those, I think, just speak volumes as to why you've had the level of success that you've had and who you are. So, okay, carry on.
And that's a very interesting thought because I always like to kind of joke, I'm not patient, which we all know patience is a virtue. However, one thing that I'm also think that we get really caught up in is time. It's like we've got all of this time. And one of the things I'm sure we'll get in later in this podcast is that I'm really interested in stretching the boundaries of what people believe is possible in a day. And a quote that came out, I don't know if this is a Chinese proverb where I heard it, it's attributed to other places, but, you know, we view a year as that so much time we can do anything and a day is too short to do a lot. So most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in a day. And so that's really kind of one of the things that I want to attack, you know, with however my goals are set up or what I want to do with my life is, you know, every second counts. You can actually do an incredible amount in 24 hours if you want to do it. And a lot of my athletics kind of push that boundary. So, you know, and there's another really interesting business thing that I heard from one of the, you know, gurus, business guys, saying, you know, take your 1 year plan and then ask yourself, can I do this in 3 months? Which is interesting because what I'm currently doing in my life is, you know, I made a list of everything I wanted to do by 40, you know, over the course of almost half a decade. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that all this year.
That's awesome.
So I do think patience is a virtue, and joking aside about me not being that patient, I also think we don't want to use patience as a crutch to be like, I'm going to wait for the exact right time. Because sometimes that exact right time isn't coming. You just need to go.
Yes. Yes. Just taking action, right? Like, sometimes you just have to make the choice and know that, like, with the exception of a very, very few things, no choice that you make is permanent. And so you just make the choice and take some action and see where it goes and, you know, create some adventures and have some fun along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, sometimes you just got to go for it. And that's what I did back in the day. So we, you know, I got my dad, my sister, and my best friend together as a crew. We took off for 4 weeks, and we ended up setting, we destroyed the record, actually. The old record was 23 and a half days, and we did it in just over 19 days.
Wow.
So we took, you know, over 4 days off the record, and then it's like, okay, what do you do? But, like, I just had all these life changes, you know, this was, like, my huge, you know, project, and then I got it. So what do you do now? And this crazy circumstance of Scott Jurek, who's a famous ultra runner, happened to break the Appalachian Trail record, which the terminus and ending point of that is the highest mountain in Maine, right when we were finishing our event on the highest mountain in Maine. Mm-hmm. So I caught up with him, you know, on the way down, just because he had this huge entourage of 30 people following him. And, you know, obviously this is a big deal. And I wasn't a runner and didn't know how big of a deal he was. But we kind of flew down there just to see, like, who is this guy? And I kind of joke, he's a very nice guy. So he was, you know, taking pictures with us and kind of trading stories on the journey, and we wanted to get going. So I said, hey, we got to run. We have a, you know, 18-hour car ride back to Michigan here. But I was like, hey, please don't break my record, because clearly you could. And he kind of chuckled and was like, all right, and you don't break mine. And I'm like, huh, don't break yours, you say.
Challenge accepted.
So, like, getting home, it's like you ride this enormous high for a few days of, like, I did this incredible thing. And then it's like that high goes away, and it's like, well, what now? Like, I had this bold, crazy vision, went after it, got it. Now what do I do? Because that's addicting. Like, and it's not just athletics. Like, if you pull off a crazy business deal or grow a business and sell, I mean, whatever you're trying to do, you know, you have this huge surge of, like, I can't believe we pulled this off and did it. But then it's like, well, what are you going to do now? I can't sit around the rest of my life and talk about this. Be like, yeah, 40 years ago, climbed this mountain.
It was a really good day.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, a few weeks later, I really couldn't get that conversation with Scott out of my head, where I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for the Appalachian Trail. So what's it going to take to do that? It's 2,200 miles. You know, he was an ultra runner. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Like, if I'm going to do this, I need to be an ultra marathon runner. So basically I just sat down, you know, 3 years ago and wrote out a 10-year plan. You know, in my research, it became pretty obvious that it was going to take close to a decade for my tendons and ligaments to go through those microscopic changes, you know, as I start slowly running a little bit to where they could even possibly handle, you know, 2,000 miles over a 6-week period. Mm-hmm. So that's really kind of what got me back into, you know, FKTs and everything else, which is a fastest known time. For those who aren't familiar with it, it's basically a world speed record on trails. You know, obviously the Boston Marathon is timed and everybody's watching it. There's no disputing, you know, a record time there. Whereas on trails, how do you know? So FKT is a website run by a couple guys, and the burden of proof is on you to prove how fast you did it. So we run with, you know, satellites and live tracking. We'll upload our GPX files. So it's basically standardizing, like, how to set a trail record. Yeah. Part of the 10-year plan was just lining those up. Like, okay, here's a 25-mile one that I could go after. Here's a 50-mile one that I could go after. Here's a gnarly 24-hour mountain one I can go after. So I've just slowly for 3 years been knocking all of those off, and that's where I am today.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to watch. Like, it is really fun to sit back and watch you do what you do. You balance that with a wife and little kids, like young kids, not like teenagers who have some level of self-sufficiency. Like, so I'd love to hear you talk about that for just a minute, briefly, because I have some other stuff I want to talk about, but I'd love to hear you talk on that. You said something in the van on the way to the airport one day. Well, okay, we'll go there. Listeners, I need sunshine in my life. It is something that my body actually just craves and needs. And I enjoy running. And Josh put together a quick day trip to Florida. Mind you, we're in Michigan. So jump on a plane, go for a run, hang out for a little bit, get on a plane, be back in bed by midnight. I'm like, I'm in. Like, let's do this. And so when we were in the van, you were talking about a couple of things that I just thought, I was like, oh, I love that. Like, you you're very intentional about creating space for your wife to have time for herself, despite the fact that you're gone. But the other thing that you described was, I'm gone this much, but it's only this much of the week, truly. Like, I'm here this, this, and this. And, like, so I don't know, I'm paraphrasing very poorly, so I'd love to hear you describe that.
Yeah, so a lot of the experience I have, I want to pass on to others. So having young kids at home, having a career, it became very difficult to travel once I had kids and pull these trips off. Because, I mean, we can all do like a long weekend where you take a 3-4-day trip, you know, out west or out east, you know, so going somewhere cool. But I was looking around and randomly noticed that a very early morning flight out was the cheapest outbound for a few days, and the very, and because Saturday is usually a cheaper flight day, and a flight late back that night was the cheapest return. And that just anomaly sparked the entire day trip thing that I do, which is, you know, what can you do in a day? Which is fantastic. And the answer is you can fly to Denver or fly to Tampa, rent a car, and then basically have 10 hours on the ground before you have to get back to the airport. And then you're at home by bed.
Yeah.
So we can rent a car and sit at the beach for 8 hours, which in January in Michigan is really attractive.
Yeah.
or September in, you know, the mountains is beautiful. So I took 44 people and we summited a 14,000 foot peak while starting and ending our day in Michigan last year. And that's an experience that, you know, not many people would think to get. So really it became, how can I eliminate time and money as a barrier? Because those are the two barriers every working adult with kids has. You know, I've got kids and a family. I don't want to leave them for all this time. And, you know, most of us have some budgetary confinement, if not big budgetary confinement. So using some of the discount airlines, you know, we're able to, for anywhere between $130 and $190, which is pretty much what every trip I've ever run has cost, you know, get out of town for a day for way less than you would ever think round trip flights and ground transportation and everything would cost, but still get to experience that. So really that's kind of what I needed to do to balance family, and it just works really well for everybody. So I arranged the trips, and, you know, hopefully for almost everybody, time and money is removed as a barrier.
Yeah. Well, and that, yeah, those trips, that trip, I've only done one at this point, because I say only one at this point because I want to do more. But that trip, if you ask anybody who is in close proximity to me, they will tell you that trip carried me through the winter. And that even now, like, I'm like, oh, that was such a good day. Like, so amazing. And I got in, like, the other people on that trip are so cool. Like, I just got to connect with some really amazing people, got to learn about you and what you do. And it's just really cool. I love the way that you redefine really what is possible in not just a day, but, or what's possible in this, here's a thing. And people said it takes this long, but I'm just going to change that a little bit. I'm going to readdress that, and let's shift how we think about things. Yeah. What has been your favorite of the things that you've done so far? What has been your favorite?
Oh, goodness. I have to split that into two categories.
Yeah.
Because I've got this ridiculous spreadsheet that has governed my life this year, and it's divided into three things: races, adventures, and records.
Ooh.
So I kind of divide, like, running into three categories.
Okay.
So if I was doing the adventure side of it, it would have to be running in the most countries ever run in a day.
Yes.
That was wild. I took 16 total, so myself plus 15, to Europe for 5 days. We found discounted flights, made the whole thing happen for well under $2,000. So just kind of this, like, epic trip that hopefully, you know, even though that's a lot of money, we could afford, you know, to see 14 countries in Europe and basically experience all of that, you know, in a 5-day period, wrapped around a weekend. So it was only 3 days off work.
Nice.
And then on one day specifically, we were going 24 hours and trying to visit 13 countries while also running at least 1 mile in it. That was crazy. We had everybody from so many different walks of life. We budgeted 15 minutes a stop, so you had at least 13, 14 minutes of actual run time in each stop. So we had people who were, you know, in their 60s and 70s. We had people in their 20s. We had people who were, you know, winning regional marathons. And we had people who, you know, had finished 10Ks, you know, at the end of their age group. It was just this diverse, crazy group of people who just thought this would be an epic adventure. And we got in more than we bargained for the last two countries. It just got absolutely crazy. You know, our whole lead, which at one point was like 58 minutes on 24 hours, because I had all of the pace charts lined out for everybody.
Of course you did.
Yes, of course. We had all this extra time if we hit all of our, you know, estimated time drives and runs, and it just evaporated through some crazy circumstances. And it got to the point where I didn't even think we'd make it to the Netherlands before 24 hours hit, but we somehow made it with 6 minutes left. Mm-hmm. So everybody, even if they didn't get the full mile, and everyone at least got to run at least a half a mile for at least 6 minutes. And myself and one other guy who are a little bit speedy managed to get the full mile in that time frame. And when I got that mile in, you know, I'm just there in the Netherlands after, I mean, literally we just, I say crash, like we really just kind of crashed the car into like the side of the exit. Like that first exit in the Netherlands, like tall grass, like bumper high, just like smashing down the grass, everybody out, just run, like just get your 6 minutes in, like try to get a mile. So when I got back to the van after running half mile and half mile back, you know, I had a minute to myself, and I was able to tell, based on the time of my GPS starting and the fact I ran a 5:40 mile, that I made it by 19 seconds or less.
Oh, my goodness.
So who knows exactly how many seconds, but to see that I made it, to have that screenshot of 3:59, you know, that was just incredible. And I had a minute to myself after, you know, being with the group all day to just kind of soak in what had happened. And logistically, that's the hardest thing I've ever done. And I love pushing myself with logistics. And obviously, guiding 16 people through 14 countries I've never been in while trying to keep everyone on pace, on target, and like actually get them to run. It was nuts. And to have it unfold in a way that was that crazy, but pull it off, that was probably my favorite adventure. And there have been some great adventures, so it's hard to beat, but that would be number one.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you just touched on something that I was going to ask you about. Like, had you been in any of those countries before?
No, never been to Europe at all.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you had, like, that whole thing going on for you during that time, too. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess in my head, for some reason, I was thinking you had, or making assumptions, which we shouldn't do, right? But like, I guess I made the assumption that you had been at least to some of the countries at some point okay, very cool. So that was your favorite adventure. What was your favorite record?
Yeah, favorite record would definitely be the Colorado 14ers record. I climbed the most 14,000 foot peaks in a day, which is 10. By the Colorado rule, it'd be 11 if you count Cameron, but that doesn't have enough prominence between its saddle to count for the Colorado rule, which I use for all of my records and is kind of the standard if you're, you know, really serious about it. So climbing those 10 in a day, that was a big deal because I like being an ultra runner, but I really feel like the mountains and those long distance things are my niche. You know, I'm not going to go win the biggest, you know, ultra races where all the professionals are at. But, you know, you put it at 14,000 feet, put it in ridiculously tough trail, make it 24 hours or more, and then the playing field is just that advantage me, in my opinion. So to be able to pull that off, especially having failed miserably on it the previous year, it was redemption, vindication. And I mean, the 14ers are just a huge deal in the mountaineering world. So to get that record kind of got me out there a little bit more to where people are now like going to take me seriously as an athlete out here. And so much time. I mean, I failed the previous year because I thought after that state high point record that I was just the logistical genius. You know, I'm good at logistics and I'm like, if I think this is the best way, it's the best way. I absolutely think I let a little bit of arrogance get in the way of spending extra time planning.
Wait, so ego?
Oh, yeah, like,
ego is a thing. it's real, but it gets in the way, but it also like can motivate and push you, right? Like if there wasn't a little bit of ego, like how much more satisfying is it doing these things knowing that other people are going to know that you did them, right? Like,
sure.
Like there's that, but then We do. Yeah, we let that get in our way. We're like, no, I'm really good at this, so it's just fine. It's fine. I don't need to do anything else because I got this.
I think it's very, very healthy, proverbial speaking, to get punched in the face sometimes. And failing at that was the mountains punching me in the face. And I remember the next day, because nothing is quite as dealing that unhealthy ego a blow like a massive failure like that. So I remember being in a Starbucks coffee shop the next day after the failed attempt, and within an hour of sitting in that coffee shop came up with a massively better plan. And it's just like, you know, this would have saved a lot of problems had I, you know, figured this one out earlier. So it's just interesting how much you can learn in that failure, because when I went out there last year and got that record, which is an unbelievably difficult record that's never been done before, no one had ever climbed more than nine, you know, nothing was unexpected. Nothing was new. Like, every feeling that I had was like, okay, I knew I'd feel this. I knew the quads were going to burn like crazy right here. Oh, I'm feeling a little bit weak. Cool. I know that descent got to take a gel. You know, this mountain, we're totally going to avoid it, even though it's easy, because it doesn't link to another one easily. So we're going to go this route instead. You know, everything was just, you know, laid out and better planned. I learned so much from that previous attempt that, yeah, it's crazy, but that record, you know, I love it because it was just smooth. Like, we just executed perfectly on that one. So yeah, that'd be my favorite record.
Awesome. Before we get to your third favorite, I have another question for you, or a thing, topic I kind of want to just jam on for a second.
Like, yeah,
you know, you talk about failing and then that led you to this huge thing. But like, for some people that failure is just like, and okay, I guess we're not doing that then. So speak to me a little bit about the resilience and like how you've built up that resilience, or like, is that like, do you look back and you're like, yep, 2-year-old Josh was like totally like that. Or was that like, or was that like something that over the years you've grown that muscle of resilience, as one of my friends likes to call it. Somebody was on the podcast a little while back, but, you know, talks about resilience as a muscle, right? Like you grow it, like you work it, you build that muscle. But what, yeah, like, what is that? Speak to me about that for you.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at the differences between me and my brother, who's 3 years younger than me. If we go golfing with my dad, you know, every week in the summer, and if I wasn't doing well, I'd get mad. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, now I'm mad. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to, you know, I had that fight. Whereas my brother, you know, same household, same everything, was just kind of like, if he wasn't doing well, he's like, eh, screw it. Don't care. And so I do think we all very much have natural tendencies. And I look at myself as fortunate that there's very much that fight. But really, I think when it comes to that, if you've got a dream and ambition worth fighting for, then you can't, you just have to force yourself to not give up. And there's several things that would cause us to give up, where failure would discourage us. You know, the first one, and I think this is the big one with all humans, is we're afraid if we mess up, people who might not be our biggest fans get to say, ha ha ha, you know, you screwed up, or, you know, you failed, or you suck. You know, there's always, the more you accomplish, the more you're going to hear somebody DMing you something ridiculously stupid about how, like, that wasn't that great.
Cool. How was your view from the coach?
And if there's one thing I could say to like, break out of the mindset of ever letting that affecting you, is this: no one doing more than you will ever criticize you. Ever. Like, Shalane, you know, the best marathoner in the world, Jim Walmsley, best ultra, those guys aren't DMing me saying you suck or you're not that good.
What?
Right? You know, who it is it's Bob from your running group who is kind of slow and is jealous that, you know, everybody in the group is listening to your stories about trying something hard and he's upset about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's always people doing less than you that are going to criticize you. So, you know, I know that fear of failure because other people can like shove it in your face or think lowly of you, like, oh, you didn't do what you say. You just have to have that mindset of the only people who will do that aren't worth your time. They're doing less than you, threatened by you. And I think that really helps, you know, somebody who might be affected by criticism kind of break out of it. Because you just can't pay attention to that.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing that you do really well with that is you own those failures, right? Like, you choose, one, to own them and say, okay, I did this, but you look at it and say, and what did I learn from it? What do I need to do differently next time? How do I use this as a launch pad to do greater things instead of going, we're not going to talk about that one?
Like, oh, exactly. And one of the greatest stories I've ever heard pertaining to that is the Wright brothers when they were building their airplane. They tested 426 different wing designs in a wind tunnel, then selected, you know, the 30 best ones for further testing. So really, they failed at like almost 350 wing designs to find the ones they like. You know, so it's like, look, you're going to fail, and failing is good. It's the number one lesson of Silicon Valley and startups is fail fast, because you're going to fail. So learn what you need to learn by failing as quickly as possible and then go. And the other part of that Wright brothers story is, even after unbelievable failures, crashes, you know, other people in aviation dying every time they tried to get a plane off the ground because of some of these crashes. At one point, you know, Wilbur Wright said to his brother, like, you know, I honestly believe that man will fly. Like, man will figure this out, but just not in our lifetime. But what I love about that is, even though he fiercely believed that human-powered flight would somehow happen, even if he didn't believe it was realistic in his life, he still dedicated absolutely everything to it. And I think you can learn so much from that.
Oh, dream bigger, right? Like seriously, like... Oh, just dream bigger. I love it. Keep talking. I'm sorry for interrupting you. That just like, that like all the feels right there.
Right. Exactly. Like, if people want to criticize my dream of the Appalachian Trail record, they're like, you realize your chance. I mean, I've had people tell me that. Do you realize how unlikely that is? And I'm like, absolutely. There's a less than 1% chance that like I physically pull that off in my lifetime. And if your goal is if your ultimate dream is over a 1% chance, like, your dream stinks. like dream big, like, you know, dream that you one day own your own car, you know, even if it's a little beater, like, that's not hard. You can sell, you know, lemonade outside of your curb every day for the next 2 years and eventually come up with $1,000 to buy a clunker. I'm sure that's a terrible analogy, but, but like, your end goal should, or your end dream, like, dream big. Like there's just no reason not to. And remember, anybody who ever criticizes that is just doing less than what you're doing. And that, you know, if they want to be self-conscious and that makes their dream seem trivial, you know, that's awful. I feel bad for them. I'd rather like give them a pep talk. But,
right.
Like, you just can't let anybody else determine those types of things. Like, if you're really passionate about something and you really want to go after, you know, some aspect of that, then do it, and do it completely unapologetically.
Yes.
Tell people, tell everybody, hey, I'm going for the Appalachian Trail record. And they're like, but you've never even run a half marathon before. Correct. I'm working on it. Give me 3 months and I'll be, and sure, 3 months later I ran a half. And then 3 months after that I ran a full. And then 2 months after that I ran an ultra. And then 6 months after that I ran 100K 62 miles and then broke a 24-hour record in Colorado. It was like, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And sure, like, no one might take you seriously at first. Great. That's the best. People like don't take me that seriously. It's like, boom.
Yeah. Okay. Watch me. Yep. Oh man. No, there's so much there, Josh. Like, so much there. So much good stuff. Like that. Like when you're talking about, like, when it's something you really want, right? Like, when it's something you're passionate about, and like, I would speak of that in terms of when it's something like in alignment with who you are at your core, and you're so bought in on who you are and standing in your own truth, like, all that other stuff doesn't matter. Like, all that extra stuff is just noise, and you can go, cool, you think that this is a bad idea, great. And when I fail, then fine, you can celebrate my failure if you want, but you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go out and try it. And I'm going to have a lot of fun doing it. And maybe I will fall flat on my face. But when I did it, at least I was having fun.
Yeah, and that's also a huge point, is it's got to be something that truly is something to your core that you want. Like, I would like $1 billion, but like, you know, that's not my dream because it doesn't line up with things I care about. Mm-hmm. And I even do like business. You know, I start my own companies. I am a marketing executive who builds companies. You know, so even that route, which is what you would need to do to be a billion, is something that I like and enjoy. But still, like, my passion isn't trying to collect $1 billion. And if that is your passion, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same point, you know, if you just set a goal because you think society will think you're cool and the chicks will dig you if you have $1 billion in your bank, like, that's not a good enough reason. And I don't know if you've seen the Iron Cowboy documentary on Netflix with James Lawrence. It's called the 50-50-50. In my opinion, the greatest endurance feat in history. He did 50 Ironmans in 50 days in 50 states.
Wow.
At one point, you know, 30 states in, when he was already done more than anyone in human history, just utterly decimated physically and mentally. I mean, just destroyed on a level that it's almost hard to watch at times. Mm-hmm. Just the suffering he's going through. You know, he gets off his bike. He can barely move. He just wants to be done. All he's getting is criticism from, you know, the triathlon community. Everything is against him. And he gets off that bike and he's just done. And then he just thinks about his reasons for why he's doing this. And when he first started and said, I'm going to do this, his 12-year-old daughter said, I'm going to run 55Ks with you. Like, the last 5K of each marathon, I'm going to run with you.
Mm.
And so he said, like, I can't do this for me. I can't do it for the charity I'm trying to raise money for. You know, I'm destroyed. I have nothing left. But I've got that 7 p.m. date with Lucy, so I'm getting the F up. And that to me is like, you know, that's your reason. So if you have that reason, it doesn't matter if you're physically destroyed and there's nothing left physically, mentally, another way. It's like, I'm getting up for that, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Yeah. Well, and I talk about that all the time with clients or through Facebook or Insta, right? Like, what's your why behind? Like, yeah, that's your why, but like, why really do you want this? Like, what does that give you if you had this thing that you are saying you want? Because when you understand why you're doing it, all the other things just start to fall into place. Like, those, that wall that you just hit is just a little bit. It's just a little bit of a problem. But you're going to go around it or through it or whatever you need to do, because the reason you want it is so much bigger than that wall.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Very, very awesome. Okay. Oh, we never got to your last favorite. Because you have three categories.
The race one?
Yeah.
You know, it actually would probably be this last weekend. This last weekend, you know, I've been running the day trips for a while. We've done dozens of them at this point. And it was interesting because somehow everybody ended up at this Detroit area race together. So we had a tent canopy, and it ended up just filling up with all of the people who had met on one of my trips before.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw Lori's picture popping up. I was like,
yeah,
hey, Lori.
It was just dozens of people that were all best friends that never ever would have met each other if it hadn't. Well, I mean, they may well have at some point, but you know, they were all connected through, you know, these trips to the mountains or the beach or, you know, to Europe. And to me, that was really cool, seeing people from Ohio and Wisconsin and Michigan and, you know, the Detroit area and the Grand Rapids area and Indiana, like, all, like, connected through this. That was really cool. And then my college roommate, who's really fast at marathoning, did his first ultra. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun, kind of doing our first race together. So he won the 4-hour and broke my course record from last year. And then I ran the 8-hour and got the course record. So that was just a lot of fun, kind of both getting course records on the same day, you know, with all of our friends there who, you know, we had all met through all of these trips over the last year. So I think that's probably going to be my favorite.
Oh, man. Yeah. How cool is that? So and your wife, if I recall, is not a runner, correct?
No, she does not run.
So what, like, obviously she's extremely supportive because there's no way to do the things that you do without that at home, right? Like, so, but what's like her role in this?
Sure. So she's a stay-at-home mom. to our two little boys. So the deal really is I will take care of everything else. Like, you're going to not have to worry about a house, car, food. Like, financially, I will make sure that's always taken care of so that you can make the investment in our kids and stay home with the kids. You know, that's something that's actually really important to both of us. I mean, she's just very good with the kids. Like, nobody can raise our kids better than her, you know, me included. Awesome. So that's something that both of us really want, is for her to not have to work and take care of those kids. And then, you know, this adventurous side of my life is just something that I'm passionate about and want to pursue. So within, you know, the boundaries of always making sure everything is taken care of so that she can make that commitment to the kids, you know, before they go to school, you know, I have the freedom, you know, to go out and do some of these things. And then I just do them in the most respectful possible way to the family, you know, especially mm-hmm. the boys. I can call and FaceTime her and we can have quality time, if you will. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, my 1.5-year-old, he doesn't get it. Like, if daddy's not there, kind of, you know, tossing him around, you know, playing in the basement, like, you know, he doesn't quite get it. So really, it's especially for the boys and really the youngest in particular. And so what I mean about being respectful about that is, you know, there have been a few trips that have been longer that have taken 5 or 6 days. Mm-hmm. And those types of trips, I really try to space out. So it's not like I'm gone a ton and then gone a ton more. And then the rest of them, you know, the whole philosophy is eliminate time and money as a barrier. So, you know, I'm gone for 1 day or gone for 2 days. So even though I'm doing crazy things that you think I'm gone for a week, I'm not gone that far. And what I'll do is in these day trips is I'm so efficient at being able to plan them for extremely cheap prices, you know, that I can even roll my costs into them. And, you know, people can't believe it's that cheap. Like, I think our Florida trip was like $139 or something like that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Right. So that's round trip plane tickets. That's renting minivans. That's gas for the minivans. It's parking at Detroit. It's all these different things. And people wouldn't even think that's possible for, you know, a one-way plane ticket. But I roll my costs into that. So it's great because I'm not hurting the family's budget by going on these. I'm only gone for, you know, 18 hours in 1 day. Without me isn't, you know, the worst.
Well, you know? You're probably around more than most, like, traditionally working parents, to be honest. Like,
and that's the big thing is being able to work from home and working on my own companies is even though I am gone, you know, 4 or 5 days a month total traveling, I have lunch, breakfast, and dinner with my sons, you know, 6 out of every 7 days. So, you know, I am home. You know, the other day we went to the zoo all afternoon. Like, I can make my schedule entirely around them. So I agree with that. Like, even though I'm traveling 10 times more than, you know, for fun than most working dads, I'm also probably around my kids on a time basis twice as much. So that's kind of that balance and just figuring out a way to make it work.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, and you posted a picture the other day of the kiddos and their tower building, which is, you know, doesn't speak at all to them being your children. It's like the world's biggest Lego tower in the middle of Barnes & Noble.
We did officially deem it the highest Lego tower in Barnes & Noble history.
That's probably accurate. So.
Yeah, we did the big, long adventure for this year was actually doing the 50 States 5K, where we ran a 5K in all 50 states while visiting all 50 states faster than any humans ever had. So we visited all 50 states and ran a 5K in all 50 states in 6 days and 7 hours, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And when we did the Michigan leg, Noah came. So my 3.5, almost 4-year-old, got in the Bob jogging stroller. So I was pushing him in the stroller because, you know, that was the one where I was gone for a full week. So it was kind of fun to actually see the kid, like make sure he was doing well, just spend a little bit of time with him. Mm-hmm. And we were 0.7 mile on our way back, you know, so maybe a mile left in the 5K. And the Michigan community was awesome. We had 30, 40 people there, you know, from all around Michigan, mm-hmm. kind of running and jogging with us and resupplying us as quickly as we could to get on our way. And three of them were ahead of us. And Noah, in his stroller, just kind of looked back at me and said, "Dad, why are there people ahead of us? He's like, "We're not winning, and I'm confused by this." So even in like a friendly group atmosphere, he's still like, "You have to win." And then I told him, I'm like, okay, buddy, we don't want to put any extra effort into this because daddy's tired from already running, you know, 35 Ks in the last 3 days.
Right. And now I'm pushing you in the stroller while I'm doing it.
And yes, exactly. This is hard for me. I know you're like antsy here, but this is a little difficult on my end. So I told him, like, okay, we're just going to wait. And then once we cross the railroad tracks, which are about 200 yards away, then we'll kick it in. So I explained what kicking it in is and how we were going to like pass everybody at the end. And then we finished. And there was no medal for him at the end, and so he cried. And we had to, like, make him a makeshift medal, you know, for winning the race. So, yeah, we're 100% sure he's my kid.
Yeah, right. All doubt has been erased.
Yes.
Oh, man. That is fantastic. I love that. Yeah, guys, seriously, like, follow Josh on Instagram because it is more fun than you should be allowed to have, like, watching somebody else just go out and do life and, like, just kill it. Man, you, truly, though, like, I'm really inspired by you, and I want to thank you because, I mean, for multiple things, but one of those, this is a really big one, and, you know, we talk about everybody's journey is their own, and like you're doing these amazing things. And we chatted a little bit, I think, about this on the trip, but like I grew up in sport, right? Like I played soccer, I did crew in college, like I did the things. I love to run, and trail running is like that is all the goodness wrapped into one. And but my body doesn't always cooperate. I have some chronic health stuff, and so when we got off that plane in Florida and walked outside, it was the first time I didn't feel pain in like years. And even through a lot of, you know, through which I was running and doing the things, but from October of 2018, until that day in January, I hadn't been able to run like at all. And I went out and I was able to do like 3 miles that day, and it was amazing. It was like the best, it was the most satisfying 3 miles of my life. But that's all it was. It was 3 miles. Like distance wise, it wasn't that much, but it felt good. And then I got to go like, you know, have a drink and some really good food and hang out on the beach with some amazing people. So all of those things, like that day encompassed like all of my happiness. Like, you know, I got to run, I love connection and meeting people, especially like that more, you know, one-on-one or, you know, small group. Like there were what, 14 of us on that trip. So there's a few people I probably barely even spoke to, just because that's how it worked out where we were pace time and where we ended up. But like, couple of people I got to really hang out with and get to know. And yeah, you've got good people in your life, Josh. Like you've got some really awesome people surrounding you. And I just wanted to thank you for that experience and that day, because, you know, you talk about time and money as huge barriers, right? And they are for so many people. And like, I'm a single mom with 3 kids, like, who is doing my own business. And, you know, so yeah, time and money, those are that's real. Like, so yeah. Like, and then you like throw this like physical stuff that's going on, like on top of it. Like, so to be able to do that, like, just thank you for creating that experience, and inviting people to step into that with you.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the pleasant side effects that I didn't see coming, was just the connection. Like I thought, okay, I'll experience the mountains of Colorado or a warm 80-degree day in the middle of winter for people, and that'll be, you know, great. Whereas really it turned out to be like everyone who goes on those trips ends up being best friends, because it takes a little bit of a sense of adventure just to do that. And, you know, especially... Yeah. You know, I think now they've kind of built a little bit of a reputation But when I first started doing these a year ago, nobody knew me. Like, I just posted in running groups, like, hey, PayPal me $200. I promise I'll take you to Denver's mountains.
Right. Yeah. And everybody's like, okay.
Right. They're like, that seems too good to be true. And I don't know you. So, I mean, at least those first few, I mean, there was just this major sense of adventure, because I'm sure some of those people wondered if I was even going to show up to the airport. Like, I'd send them the confirmation code, but in Photoshop, I'm sure, like, there's ways to fake it if you really wanted to. So, it's just become, like, the type of person to do these is super adventurous. And what I love about that, in addition to, like, the connection to other adventurous people, which is why we're all best friends when we meet each other, is, you know, I'm fortunate that even though I don't have an elite body, I've got a very capable body. So I can go out and actually set records. You know, there's enough, especially in this trail running community with FKTs. Like, you don't have to win Boston or Western States or the biggest marathons in the world. You know, this is a sport where you can also go out and, you know, get, you know, a speed record on a cool regional trail, you know, that maybe a professional doesn't have. So I'm fortunate in that, but I think what some of these adventures also do is give people a taste of that. Like, the people who went on that Europe trip can now say they own the record for most states ever run in on a day. And that's great, because, again, we had 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds. You know, we actually had one person on the trip who wasn't a runner but heard out about the trip through a friend and said, hey, I think by the time this trip comes, I can train enough to be able to finish, you know, running a mile 13 times. And she did it. And now she's a record holder.
Oh, that is amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I just encourage people to think outside. I mean, not just dream big, but think outside of the box, because you don't have to be LeBron James to have a big, you know, dream in basketball. Like, right. There's got to be some way in the many things you can do with that little orange ball that can be your thing if that's the sport you love. So be creative, figure it out, and even if it's just a crazy adventure thing that isn't necessarily speed, like, it's just fun to, you know, brainstorm and dream and come up with cool stuff.
I don't know that we can end on any better note than that. So I'm going to wrap that up there. But so, Josh, tell everybody one more time where they can find you if they want to connect with you.
Sure. So if you want to add me on Facebook, I'm nice. Like, we can be friends. Josh Sanders. And then if you want to add me on Instagram, run.josh.
Yeah. True story. He is nice. He's a good guy. So thank you so much for your time today, Josh, and for what you do and for helping people, I think, truly see that so much more is possible than they ever thought. Yeah, thank you for what you do and for taking some time today to do this.
Absolutely, been a blast. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, yeah. Thanks for listening to this episode of Journeyers Podcast. To connect with me, your host, Susan Clark, check me out on Insta at HT Performance LLC. Email me at susan.clark@healthtrainingperformance.com, or just check out my website, healthtrainingperformance.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear about anybody you know who has an amazing story of resilience and authenticity. Have a great day.